We're now ready to enter into the second chapter of Proverbs. We'd like to read verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. He is still speaking to the young man. This young person has been told to hear and remember the instruction of his father and his mother. The parental instruction is necessary for the basics of life, and if not given, will be greatly missed. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 7. To have the ultimate knowledge needed for life is to know about the Lord. To fear the Lord is to know and respect the Lord. To find out about the Lord, one must know God's Word. Job asked the question, Job 28:12, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? And then in verse 20, Job says, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Then Job answered his own question in verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. But here Solomon tells us in chapter 2, not only where we may find this wisdom, but also how we may get it. He tells us the means we must use to obtain wisdom. He says, to receive my words. We must be convinced that the words of God are the source of truth and the standard of wisdom and understanding. Our mental attitude must be such that we are willing to receive my words. We must treasure and value his words so that we want to follow the instruction. Hide my commandments with thee, he says. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. Listen to God's word. Receive his great teaching. It must first be heard before we can receive it. Then, after he's heard, the young man is told to apply thine heart to understanding. The heart commonly refers to the mind as the center of thinking and reasoning. But the heart also includes the emotions, the will, and thus the whole human inner being. The heart is the storage place for all wisdom, and it is the source of whatever affects speech, sight, and conduct. Verse 3 says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. This would certainly include the idea of prayer. We must cry after knowledge, as one that is starving for food, begs hard for bread. Small, timid cries will not be sufficient. We must earnestly desire it, as those who know the true worth of knowledge, and cannot afford to let it escape us. We must cry as newborn babes, after the sincere milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We must lift up our voice for understanding, he says. This is the passionate pleading of one who is desperate to know and apply the truth of God. This is the opposite of taking God's word for granted. We lift up our voices to heaven. We pray to God for the ability to understand his word as we study it. James 1, 17 and 18, every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The follower of God has a right and a duty to pray to God for his or her needs. Job 38:34, canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Having given our hearts an understanding, we must also employ our voice in seeking for it. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest for her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. We must seek it as silver, preferring it to all the wealth of this world, and laboring in search of it as those who labor digging in the mines, who undergo great toils and risk great hazards with untiring energy as in constant pursuit of precious ore. Or those who will be rich rise up early and sit up late and turn every stone to get money to fill their treasure. This is how diligent we must be to get knowledge and understanding. Just as gold and silver are somewhere to be found, even so wisdom and knowledge are hidden, waiting to be discovered. Job 28, verses 1 and 2. Surely there is a vein for the silver, and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is melted out of the stone. What is the result of this diligent search for knowledge and wisdom? What success may we hope for? He says in verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Our labor shall not be in vain. Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, he says. That is, we shall know how to worship him correctly. We shall be able to understand the meaning of every ordinance. We shall know the purpose God had in giving it to us. Our worship will be with reason and understanding, not following blind traditions of men, which are without a God-given reason and purpose. Then shalt thou find the knowledge of God, he says, which is necessary for us to properly have reverence and respect for God. When our knowledge comes from man and not from God, we learn respect for man and his ways and not for God and his ways. We must be sure that the knowledge we have is the knowledge of God and does not originate with man. This is only possible when we consult the written word of God and know what the Bible says about it. In Acts 17, verse 11, speaking of the disciples in Berea, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Where can we get this wisdom and understanding? Verse 6 says very plainly, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." The words of his mouth are contained in scriptures. It is there that God speaks. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Again in 2 Peter 1, verses 21 and 22, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Wisdom comes only by the revelation of God. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." That's what he's telling us here. The truth discovered here in the Word of God will make us truly knowing and intelligent. Let us never forget that God has wisdom to bestow. The Lord is not only wise himself, but he gives wisdom. And that is more than the wisest man in the world can do. All the wisdom found in any creature is the free gift of God. He gives it liberally, has given it to many, and is still giving it. So let us apply to him for our wisdom. James 1 and 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, does not blame, and it shall be given him." So let's turn to God for this wisdom. He's wanting to give it to us, and it's our calamity if we reject it. That's our lesson for this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friend.